Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Guardian.
If you've ever donated blood, you'll know that feeling you get when you walk out of the door of the blood bank. You're glad you've done your bit, but you hope nobody's actually going to need it in the near future. In developing countries, it isn't always easy to locate blood in an emergency. In some countries, there are few facilities where this is possible, and centres might actually be a long way away from where you live. In Nigeria, one woman decided to take the matter into her own hands.
The main problem Life Bank would be structured to solve is distribution. That if there is blood available, making sure that the people who need it get it in the right condition and on time. And that's when Life Bank was created.
This is Small Changes, a podcast about how sometimes the seemingly smallest change can have the biggest impact. This week, I speak to a woman who's made it her life's mission to ensure the safe access to healthcare essentials like blood for hospitals in Nigeria. I'm Lucy Lamble.
We operate in two cities, Lagos and Abuja, in Nigeria. We help busy hospital system find the medical products they need. Things like blood, oxygen.
Temi Giwa Tobosan is the founder and CEO of Life Bank, a company that collects blood and organises its distribution to hospitals and patients who need it. An award-winning innovator, she's been named one of the BBC's 100 Women in 2014, and a positive female role model for the Fourth Industrial Revolution by the World Economic Forum on Africa. As she explains, her upbringing played an important role in helping her get to where she is today.
It was really interesting. My parents were educators. My dad worked at a university in Southwest Nigeria, and my mom was a teacher.
So there was always going to be interest in your schooling?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of interest. I had 5 siblings, so there were 6 children. So we really had like an interesting childhood, and it was really fun. We lived in the school quarters where the professors lived. So we really had a lot of fun with other kids whose parents were educators as well. So it was really a nice, normal middle-class childhood.
Things changed for the family when Temi was 10 years old. Her parents won the US diversity immigrant visa and left for the States with her 3 older siblings.
And myself and my 2 little siblings went to live with my grandma.
5 years later, the family was reunited when Temi and her siblings joined her parents in Minnesota. It was a big change for the young teenager.
I remember struggling a little bit the first term in school because I really couldn't. I mean, I'd always spoken English, and English was first 2 language that I had, but I couldn't really understand American accents, and I had to sit in class. I tested pretty well, so I wasn't put into English as a second language class. but that didn't mean that I understood English very well. So that was really interesting, being able to fit into that American society and figuring out how to sort of navigate this completely new world of in the States. But because I had three older siblings that had lived in the U.S. for 5 years before I was brought to the U.S., I basically had a lot of help navigating my way around social world. And yeah, so it was a lot less difficult than it would have been if I had to sort of start by myself all over again.
Temi hadn't always wanted to reinvent the health industry in Nigeria, but she had wanted to try and help people in other ways.
Ever since I was a little girl, even before my parents left Nigeria, I always thought I would be a lawyer. And I think the reason why was there was a very popular human rights lawyer when I was growing up in southwestern Nigeria. His name is Gani Fawéhínmí, and he was very famous. And as a little girl, I think I was really like taken in by his defense of people who were weak and powerless, and basically defending their human rights. I wouldn't think about it this way, but I just thought, I mean, at the time, I wouldn't think about it that I was really interested in his defense of human rights, but everyone just always talked about him with awe, and I love that, and I wanted to be just like him.
This dream to be a lawyer followed her all the way through her formative years, and she started taking steps to achieve this goal when she got to high school in the US.
I remember when I was in high school, I would volunteer with a family friend who was also a lawyer in Minneapolis. And I would go to court with her. I loved it. I loved the law. I was by the time I was in second year of university, I'd already started studying for LSAT, which is like the entrance examination to law school in the US.
Temi's plans changed as soon as she volunteered for the Model United Nations, a program that teaches students about diplomacy and what it would be like to actually work for the UN.
So basically we had to do research, we had countries we represented, and we had to do so much research and put in resolutions. And I loved that process. It was so amazing, fascinating to me that a bunch of people could sit down, come up with resolutions to solve human problems. And I was just taken by it. I loved it. And I immediately thought that I couldn't study law because that was now boring. I wanted to be in the United Nations, arguing resolutions, helping to solve social problems.
After receiving her bachelor's degree, she moved to California to study international public policy in the hope that this would eventually lead to her joining the UN. Once again, however, things changed.
Between year one and year two years in my school, you're really encouraged to go to any developing country and work for 3 months. So I decided to go live in northern Nigeria for 3 months and work there. While I was there, I was volunteering for a health project, which was really random. I didn't choose healthcare specifically because I just wanted to be in the UN. But that was where I could get the fellowship, I mean the internship. I was doing household surveys. So I sort of always traveled between Jigawa State, Kano State, and Kaduna State. During one of these visits to a small village outside Kano, the team was chanced to meet a young lady who had been in childbirth. And she had apparently, what we were told was that she had been in labor for 3 days and that everyone was waiting for her to die because they didn't have the resources to take her to a good hospital where she could get emergency C-section. And I remember being taken so seriously by her story. I basically had a little meltdown, and I was just completely floored that someone like this, who was very similar to my age, I think she was about 18, and I was 22 at the time. I was 22. And I just felt very taken by her story and how if my parents had maybe not been professors, and if maybe we didn't win the visa lottery, that could be my story. I was very taken by her story, and I knew then and there that I found my calling.
After the break, we'll hear more about how this decision led to Temi founding LifeBank and how she came to the conclusion that sometimes a business can work better for the people you're trying to help than an NGO.
I was just really taken by the fact that you could do business and you can save the world at the same time.
We'll be back after this.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today in Focus is a new Guardian podcast that brings you closer to our journalism by getting behind the news every weekday. You'll join me, Anushka Astana, talking to people at the centre of the big stories impacting our world. We'll use personal perspectives and expert analysis to put you at the heart of what matters. Listen to Today in Focus and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen.
Welcome back to Small Changes. I'm Lucy Lamble. This week, we're talking to Temi Giwa-Tobosan, the founder and CEO of the medical startup LifeBank.
I returned back to my school, changed my major from public policy to management.
After working for 3 months in northern Nigeria and witnessing one woman's horror childbirth experience, Temi moved back to California and changed her major.
Because I really knew that now I'm not going to go to the UN, I'm not going to write resolutions, I'm going to be in the field, working directly with my hands getting dirty and helping solve the sort of entrenched systems problem that led to this young lady waiting to die, where she could have been helped by just moving her to a hospital where she could get C-section.
Temi also traveled to Uganda to work on the Millennium Villages project, the brainchild of the American economist Jeffrey Sachs. The idea was to invest millions of dollars in an intensive focus on 15 villages on the African continent. Temi used her experience working in Uganda in setting up LifeBank.
That was when I started realizing that NGOs were not a model that I wanted to work in forever. I think that was when I realized that sometimes allowing people you are helping to choose, using their resources, is probably the best way to ensure that you're really actually making an impact. And the best way to do that is not to get international organizations to fund you, is to allow the local population to sort of decide on your business or not using their resources.
Fast forward to 2012, when Temi decided to move back to Nigeria, where she got married and founded what was at the time called the 1% Project.
All along, I knew that I was going to focus on maternal health care. And I, of course, read everything that I could find about this problem. I was taken by postpartum hemorrhage because I felt like I could do something about it. The best solution to women bleeding to death during childbirth is to stop the bleeding and replace the blood she's lost. And even if you can't stop the bleeding, you can keep replacing the blood until our body learns to clot. And I just remember saying, okay, this is something I could solve. This is awesome. I'm going to do something about it. I always had a full-time job throughout this, but I started 1% Project to try and inspire a new generation of blood donors.
There was also a specific incident which convinced her to focus on blood donation.
At least 16 people have been killed in Nigeria following an attack on the United Nations headquarters in the capital, Abuja. The Red Cross says another 11 people were injured after a bomb exploded outside the UN building and that the death toll is likely to rise.
The Islamist group Boko Haram took responsibility for the attack. For Temi, it was an indication of just how badly needed her 1% project was.
And I remember when that attack happened, everyone was on Twitter trying to find blood. Everyone was like, asking blood donors, blood donors, blood donors. People need blood. There's no blood in the blood banks at the National Hospital. And that was the conversation on Twitter for almost a week after that attack. And I knew that then and there that that was what I'm going to sort of spend my time doing. And it was like that last catalyst to push me towards doing 1% Project.
Initially, she felt she had little choice but to register the 1% Project as an NGO.
I didn't really want to start out as an NGO, but that was all I knew. And so I decided to go with an NGO. But I worked on it for 2.5 years, and we were able to collect quite a lot of blood. We were able to convince quite a lot of people to sign up to become blood donors. But I wasn't quite satisfied with the scale that we had. So I started doing some more research on what are sort of, because people were still dying. And at the time, I'd now been known as the blood lady on Twitter. And anytime someone had a need for blood, anytime someone died from lack of blood, someone would sort of tag me on it on Twitter. So it had become like something I couldn't get away from. So I started thinking deeply about why this problem still persists, even though I was working so hard to make sure that we have enough blood in organizations across Nigeria. So the biggest problem wasn't really access to blood, but the bigger problem is distribution. And to be quite honest, in Nigeria, in the developing world, distribution is always the biggest problem that every sector faces. So when I realized that it was distribution, I knew you couldn't do distribution at scale with an NGO model, that you needed sort of like a business model so that you can raise capital, you can raise patient capital to be able to scale and grow your business quickly.
So Temi left the NGO life behind and the enterprise Life Bank was born, which still stands today. It took one very special arrival for Temi to realise that she needed to quit her day job and put all of her time into this new business.
I became a mum and it was a very difficult birth. I had to have an emergency C-section. I was sick. I was very sick before and very sick after. We were on bed rest for quite a long time, but it was just a very difficult situation. And I was very lucky to have excellent healthcare. Had every single thing that I needed. And that forced me to sort of decide if I was going to do something about this, I needed to do it full time, not just half-assed. Because while I was, like I mentioned, while I was doing 1% Project, I always had a full-time job. And I was always just doing 1% Project on the side. So that was sort of the catalyst that forced me to say, this has to be a full-time thing. This has to be your life's work. This has to be something you put your entire energy and your entire focus on it.
Access to universal healthcare is being called for in many countries around the world. But Temi explains why she feels it hasn't yet taken off in Nigeria.
I think actually it's a very simple problem. Nigeria is unable to count the people who live in Nigeria, right? We're not able to uniquely identify every single Nigerian. And if you can't do that, you can't build a universal health system. It's just not possible. You need to be able to know who's who, who's going to need what access, for you to use things like artificial intelligence tool to predict usage so you can make sure you have enough funding so no one is sort of shut out in this UHC plan. So I think that's like the fundamental problem we need to solve before we start thinking about building a universal health coverage. It's not something that a lot of people pay attention to, but it's very, very key as far as I'm concerned.
Temi has won several innovation awards, and Life Bank has been praised by many around the world. Despite all she has achieved, she has no plans to slow down.
I want to solve this same problem everywhere where this problem exists. That's my main focus at this moment. We envision Life Bank India, Life Bank in Southeast Asia, Life Bank in South America. My primary focus right now is scaling this organization and scaling our model to everywhere where it could be of impact to the world.
And final question, what do you say to and share with young Nigerians who are looking for opportunities and wanting to make their mark?
I say problems are opportunities. When you see a problem in your community, if you can't be creative, if you can't be creative and smart and come up with a smart business model that can scale, that's an amazing opportunity that would not only be impactful, but change your life forever. So see problems in your community as an opportunity for impact and self-growth.
You can find a link to LifeBank on this week's episode description on the Guardian website. But that's it from us this year. It's been a wonderful 2018, where we've had the opportunity to talk to some incredible people for small changes. Thank you to all of our guests for joining us, and of course to all of you who've listened to their stories. Whatever you get up to this holiday period, we hope you enjoy it. Small Changes is produced by Danielle Stevens, and I'm Lucy Lamble. As always, thanks for listening.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.